It is time to bring in our friends from the Berkshire Edge. It is theberkshireedge.com on the web, and they are live on air right now. We bring in David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
We are fine.
A lively conversation you're having.
Well, think about not being able to actually talk to your parents whether or not you want to. Forget voluntary. You get once a month.
Can we get on to our area here? Can we get off this talking to your parents business, please?
Sure. But only if you're female.
Well, that's...
You're bought.
Yeah, right.
Do you understand the move of what's changed the topic?
I do.
Thank you.
I will.
Gosh, guys, I tell you.
I will honor and obey as well.
I'm going to shut your mic off in a second.
If you're female, right.
Right.
That's
and
right.
We're raised to do that.
N'est pas le choix.
All right. Well, let's go on to something that we've already heard repeatedly enough, but it leads the hit parade at the Berkshire Edge.com.
I'm thirsty.
And it's the single-use plastic water bottle.
Oh, I know. It's still a lively subject here.
I'm thirsty.
David, should I?
Well, we at the annual town meeting, as you recall, the town meeting voted overwhelmingly to ban the sale of small single use plastic water bottles because they are a scourge on the environment on the planet, and Great Barrington was going to make a small gesture to halt this depredation of the planet. So since that time, people have really objected, or some people have objected, they had got enough signatures on a petition to call for a town meeting, at which point the voters can reconsider this measure. And there's there's a petition that calls for the rescinding of that vote. However, our story this morning is that students are outraged. They love this ban. They said, you know, you guys ruined the planet for our generation, you know, and we take a small gesture to improve things, and you won't have it. So that's what our story is about. And it's from Claudia Marino, a student, a junior at Monument Mountain Regional High School, has gathered a collection of her friends and others to explain why they are, you know, in favor of reducing the use of plastic. So,
and of course, they can't vote because they're not 18.
Right.
And at the first town meeting, it was really a group of high school students. There were three young women who made the presentation, and they persuaded the audience. They were
really
very
did.
Effective, but they also had. No, they had photos of the plastic floating in the ocean and the plastic being ingested by birds and fish.
And us.
Right. So I know that I've spoken to some of the adults who are in favor of this ban, who are leading the charge, and they say, you know, if you come to the town meeting and you see the photos that they have, it's going to be very hard to vote against it, but there are people who keep insisting that recycling is sufficient, although there seems to be no evidence that recycling is effective.
It's not effective enough. When you talk about that many water bottles being produced, there's no way you can recycle enough.
Right.
Because people take these bottles to the beach, they take them to parks,
they take them
on mountains when they're hiking. There's just no way you can do that.
Right.
No way. Hopefully,
you know what I think this is? I think this is revenge of the dinosaurs.
But you know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we didn't have plastic water bottles to carry around. You know, we had wanted a drink of water. Listen, you got a
remember
drink
those canteens?
When we were kids, if I would have thought that I could have started a business where I'd bottle somebody else's water and sell it and make
amazing.
Money.
Right. Right.
So without putting any sugar in it.
People would have called me, that kid's crazy. Lock him up.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Who's just going to buy water?
It was actually Perrier who started this trend, I think. Perrier in France.
You could get Evian before that.
Could you really?
Absolutely.
Before Perrier?
Yep. And then in France. And then there were glass bottles.
They were glass bottles.
Well, Perrier still is in glass bottles.
Correct, yeah. As is Pellegrino, et cetera. There was that. Improved in America, turned into plastic, make it portable.
Right.
You don't want all these glass. I mean, people could hurt themselves with glass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's heavy.
All right.
Anyway, so we have the this next meeting, next Monday night, Monday the 6th, so that the next time we speak with you, it will have been decided.
All right.
It's going to be very interesting. I mean, I'm sure the place is going to be packed.
Well, it is, because there are some other items on the agenda for that meeting that are controversial as well.
Hmm.
Tell me it's not going to be about a statue.
No.
Good.
No.
That meeting would blow right up if it was.
No, it's not. It's, the other issue, or one of the other issues, is...
This is also on our list.
There's a residential district to the north of town.
Yeah.
There's an operation, a kind of... trucking operation going on a very narrow rural road, and the residents there have been trying for the last 10 years to have that operation shut down because it's a non-conforming use, and the town has failed to enforce its zoning regulations. In fact, for 10 years there's been a cease and desist order against this guy. And named Gary O'Brien, and the town has just never enforced it. So the proposal now is to buy his property, just buy him out, rather than enforce the law. And I think this is people are going to say, why are we going to spend $300,000 to buy this piece of property? Because we can't enforce the law. I mean, this sounds like a bribe, So it's going to be very controversial, and that may, that's going to skewer the vote on the bottle bill, I think.
Probably.
Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, because this may be too much government for a lot of people.
All right, well, time will tell. Let's go to something that's a little different. And that's, once again, the 100th anniversary of the birth of Larry Bernstein.
As if we haven't been talking about this for the last year.
Yeah. Well, it's a big event, yeah. Right.
Well, it is interesting, though, how these issues keep cropping up week after week after week. Environment issues and such as plastic water bottles and people who defy the law or the town regulations. I mean, we've talked about various episodes of this behavior lots of times. But in any case, we also have the 100th anniversary of the birth of Leonard Bernstein, who was a Tanglewood Fellow and well known in the Berkshires for his musical abilities and performances. And Tanglewood has gone out, and the Boston Symphony has gone all out to celebrate his sesquicentennial?
The centennial of his birth.
Yeah, of his birth, and with concerts and performances. They had the other night. They had the last weekend. They had the Boston Symphony accompanying live a performance, a screening of West Side Story, for instance. So. There are all kinds of events going on, and one of them just happens to be, which you're referring to, I think, in our report today is the Berkshire Music School has launched what they call the Painted Piano Project in honor of Leonard Bernstein. And the Berkshire Music School is up in Pittsfield, and it's a really wonderful institution that has educated so many students over the years.
Including David's children.
Including my kids. yes, one of my sons is a composes music and plays piano and cello, and he's got his start there. But in any case, they are having this kind of amusing fundraising project where they have these pianos that are painted by various artists in the community. There's 16 of them, and they're out in various locations at libraries and such, and one of them is on the lawn of the Berkshire Music School, and we have a story about the music school director, Tracy Wilson, who used to work for the BSO, by the way, and we have her explaining what this project is all about, which is a fundraising for their scholarship program. And also a celebration of Leonard Bernstein's and we also in this is a video of her playing this piano that's perched on the lawn. There are these old pianos, by the way. They don't sound so good, but it's kind of amusing and
where
colorful.
Do they get the pianos?
They were donated.
Right.
Yeah. People donated their old pianos.
Old pianos.
Yep.
And so they painted them. And what are they going to do with them after this?
Well, they're going to auction off the top of the piano is actually a painting.
Ah.
So they're going to auction those off.
And then you can put a better piano inside.
Yeah, maybe.
Better
I don't know. But these aren't grand pianos. These are uprights.
A little uprights.
Yeah, a little upright. Spinets. Right. Spinets, as we say.
Well,
anyways, it's a very amusing project.
And all I can say is that Leonard Bernstein, what he did... people that are my age were probably first introduced to classical music and enjoyed it by watching him on TV in the early years.
Yes.
It's really.
Right.
Yeah, well, remember Young People's Guide to the Orchestra?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was.
Absolutely. And it was pivotal.
I would love to see that again. I'm sure that they're available.
I think it should be required because it would introduce, once again, another generation to classical music and understand it.
The math and the composition that goes into it.
Well, you know, actually, as a matter of fact, until a few years ago, because of Leonard Bernstein's...
actually, it's Bernstein.
Bernstein.
I was wondering how long you were going to go without saying that.
Well, whatever. Lenny, let's put it this way. Lenny, when he was with the New York Philharmonic, there used to be a group of students that would be taken down to New York to hear him, and he would meet with them, and they would become part of his program at the New York Philharmonic. But that was years ago.
Cool thing. It was something to aspire to and look forward to.
Yeah, what?
That's part of what's missing is the aspire to and look forward to.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you know, this is not on the list of stories we said we were going to talk about, but I can't resist talking about the organization that I chair, which is called Close Encounters with Music. And they are having a summer festival, which will be accessible to your listeners. This is like the sixth or seventh year that Close Encounters has had a summer festival with wonderful young musicians from all over the world. We've had it in the Catskills, and we've had it at the Cary Institute in Rensselaersville in the past, but now finally we have brought it home to the Berkshires, where the organization is based. It's taking place for 10 days at the Salisbury School. Berkshire School in Sheffield. Sorry, I always get the name wrong. The Berkshire School in Sheffield, starting August 6th. It goes from the 6th to the 16th. Information is available on their website, which is called Berkshire's High Peak Music Festival. And if you just Google Berkshire's High Peak, you'll find, and the public is invited, and this is really a wonderful festival of young students from all over the world who spend 10 days with a really stellar faculty, headed, of course, by Yehuda Hanani, who is the artistic director of Close Encounters with Music. Their concerts and their master classes and everything are open to the public. For $50, you can get a festival pass, so you can go in and out and hear everything. But this is, I mean, if you want to know about young people loving music, this is something to visit. And whether you're young or old, this is really a wonderful experience to hear these young people all playing classical music and loving it and being very good at it, too. So I urge people to, you know, Berkshire's High Peak Festival, High Peaks, Berkshire's High Peaks. And, you know, please come to hear these wonderful young musicians. And also there are concerts by the faculty, too. If you really only want to hear older and accomplished musicians, you can come to hear them instead of young accomplished musicians. So, sorry, it's a shameless plug.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of shameless self-promotion. Plug.
But it's really, I mean, but it really is an unusual thing that's happening, and anybody who likes music, and you know, bring your children and grandchildren to see other young people playing wonderful music.
All right, we will move on to that incident between Elizabeth Warren's supporter and the fist fight that kind of evolved out of that, and the coverage of that.
Did we talk about this last week?
A little bit about it, yeah, but we didn't go into all the particulars.
This is from the sublime to the ridiculous, I guess. Elizabeth Warren was in town on the 22nd of July, a Sunday, and to deliver it could have been a campaign talk, but
it was a town meeting.
It was a town, what she billed as a town meeting. And more than 1,000 people showed up, which is a big deal. I mean, the line was, 1, 2, 3 blocks long in Great Barrington, can you believe, to come and see her. And as they were standing in line outside the Mahawi Theater, there was this character who's a kind of a troll provoking the people in line to hear her with a bullhorn and calling, yelling at them that they are racists, you know, just trying to provoke them. And so one individual, Paul Salovey, just had had enough, and he charged over and...
But he didn't charge over. I mean, we actually have the video. He walked over, and as he walked over, they started yelling at him through the bullhorn. And so at some point, he went and pushed the bullhorn. I mean, he didn't actually touch the person, but he swatted his hand at the bullhorn, but the bullhorn then, you know, jammed up against the mouth of the person who was holding it. So the speaker's associates attacked Paul, threw him down on the ground, and were all over him. And the police came along and arrested him for assault, and he was taken away. And then, of course, you know, but it's very clear on the video that the speaker was making sure that the camera, you know, his people's camera was on, and we have that tape, you know, and that this was all going up on Facebook. So this is a kind of ploy, you know, you get people angry, and then they come and express their anger, and then you record it, and you accuse them of not being willing to dialogue.
Then you claim victimhood, you know.
That you're a victim, right?
Right. This guy was being, you know, really nasty.
All right, we have about a minute left to deal with the affordable housing issue.
That'll do it. That's all we need.
David, why don't you talk about that?
Oh, well, the Community Development Corporation of South Berkshire, one of their projects has been kind of controversial, but they've been seeking to have a an affordable housing project on land on the on Bridge Street on a land used to be occupied by log homes, which is contaminated with dioxins, and so they have now received a rather large grant from the state in order to
$15 million
to help them clean up the site and build an affordable housing complex that on this 8-acre parcel right along the Housatonic River. And
so this is great because this thing is affordable housing downtown.
Yeah.
You know, where there are other expensive expensive condos being built in downtown Great Barrington. Now we'll also have affordable housing in downtown Great Barrington.
Well, you know, that's one of the issues that is facing Great Barrington, and I think probably other towns in Berkshire County, as well as in Northwest Connecticut, I'm sure, is that it's hard for the housing is so expensive that people cannot afford to buy in the community where they grew up, you know,
and where they work,
and it's also a real irritant and an issue for people
and a real class divide
between
second homeowners and the locals.
Yes, and the second homeowners have driven up the real estate prices and taxes. So people are very, very upset, and the Community Development Corporation is trying to find a way around this or to deal with this situation. And this isn't the only initiative that they're taking, but this is the latest one. And
this isn't going on endlessly. You may remember they tried a biological remediation that didn't work because of probably weather conditions. It rained too much and washed it out. And so now they're going to have to do a more traditional approach, which is just capping the land.
Yeah.
All right. We're out of time.
We're out of time. Okay.
We are right up to the last second.
Okay.
We can close the show. Thank you.
These stories and more, of course, theberkshireedge.com. And we will speak to you guys next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
And go to the High Peaks Festival.
All right.
Okay. Starting Monday.
All right,
and talk to your parents.
All right.
Right. Okay.
Goodbye,
and
guys.
Your children.
All right. Take care.
Right.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That is this week on air with the Berkshire Edge folks.